and she's asleep, and I've got until 20 past 11. Winning.
It was funny. I was actually having a nightmare, or, you know, a bad dream about Piper being too restless for me to get up and go to CrossFit.
The full vegan thing was scary. I'm glad you're back on normal coffee.
Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and I'm here with Kate.
Hello.
We're both a bit tired today.
Yeah, so, you might be much yawning.
So, yes, for different reasons, I don't have a newborn, but I do have a five-year-old, and she didn't sleep that well last night, and she sleeps in with us, and so I didn't sleep that well, and then I got up at a bit after four to go to CrossFit and go for a run. So it's vast majority is it self-inflicted in my case.
Yeah, that's the nicest kind of self-inflicted though. Mine is self-inflicted also, I guess, if you want to take it to that degree. But yeah, what can you do? Babies, hey. My baby's getting really good at sleeping. It's just she kind of exploded and also shares a bed, which means a lot of people need to get changed.
Yes,
not fun parents. At 3 in the morning.
No, 3, that's an ungodly hour. Like, I can come round to 4, but, you know, 3, I'm like, that's middle of the night. That's no.
Yeah.
That's
no 3 good. Is like the actual worst. I can come round to 4 as well. 4 is close enough to daytime again that you can think, oh, look, if I end up not falling asleep, it's just a really early start to the day. You can't do that at 3.
No, you can't.
No, it was very gross. But anyway, baby, she's very cute, which makes up for it. And she started giggling yesterday, which is the most ridiculously adorable thing ever. Yeah. So we'll keep her.
Definitely. Definitely keeping her. I'm definitely keeping mine. She's so funny. She does this thing where when she's talking to me sometimes, she'll kind of cup my face or kind of stroke me under the chin, I guess because that's what I do to her. It's very adorable, but she'll often do it while she's saying brutally honest things, like she might be talking about my grey hair or my wrinkles, and she was doing that the other day, and she was sort of stroking my chin, and she said, but that's just because you're so old.
Oh, bless. Oh, babies.
So yes, and it's kind of cool having that her say those things and experiencing them from someone where there's absolutely no judgment attached to it at all. And it's the same when she calls me so fat.
Yeah.
So
it's exactly right. My 8-year-old son has taken to poking my belly at least twice a week and go, oh, the jelly bit's down here now. He was most disappointed when most of the jelly bit, you know, kind of shrunk back as it does after the first week as things exit your body. And so, but he's like, it's still there. It's just down low, down here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm aware where it is. Thank you, darling. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Oh.
Kids, they're good. You'd have heaps, hey? Some of us would, apparently.
Yes. I think that most people have, like, ages that they like more than others, and I could always I could always have more babies, but I couldn't have another 3 or 4 year old, which I feel like is true, but I also feel like I forget what babies are like, and then every now and then I talk to you or someone else with a newborn and go, yeah, I probably wouldn't have another baby.
They're tiring little fellas. I'd forgotten. I was completely, for someone who's had 4 children before, completely unprepared for just the relentlessness of it. I think I'd, you know, gotten used to that bit of independence that you have as your kids get older, and it's like, oh God, I can't move, I can't do anything, I can't plan anything, I can't have a shower some days.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's a very, like, I often will talk to people and I'll be saying something about my kids who are just about to turn 6 and 9, and they'll be like, oh, but teenagers so much worse. And I'm like, You know, like, yeah. I get it because it's so emotionally demanding, But I also, and you know, they're so much more oppositional, and you know, it's so much more complicated in a lot of ways. But I also think people forget that, you know, when you have, you know, like kids our age, like you can't just leave them in the house while you go for a walk or whatever, you know. Like, whereas when, you know, when people are talking about 16, like at 16, I was perfectly capable of, you know, like coming home from school on my own and doing all of that stuff, cooking for myself, you know, like it. I'm sure that there are, I mean, in some ways, I think it's also different, you know, like when I was just with my mum. So I think, you know, being with a single parent, you kind of probably have a bit more of a partnership maybe than in, like, necessarily how my girls will be, where they kind of are not exposed to that side of things, so they will probably have less of an emphasis on looking after me as much as I'm looking after them. But you know,
for the record, my teenage son is an absolute delight at the moment, absolute delight, as is my preteen daughter. The middle two, they're pushing boundaries, but the teenage age ones are being amazing, and I keep thinking, like, I know there are going to be all the emotional challenges and stuff, and you know, it's going to be up and down, but just these glimpses I'm getting at the moment of their more mature selves is enough for me to know that we're going to be fine.
Yeah,
I think it's just, you know, there are obviously periods you go through that are super hard with teenagers, and I don't know if most people do this, but I know for me, I think of how I was and the particularly horrible bits, and I think, oh dear God, please don't let them be like me, and of course they probably will be. But, you know, they're great kids. At the end of the day, I have ages I like to. I didn't expect 13 to be one of them, but I am just loving it at the moment. He's such great company, such a great kid.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it just really depends on personality and everything else like that. Like the other day I was trying to get the kids to come down with me to CrossFit so I could do the open workout, and Riley didn't want to, and she was like, can't I just stay here and look after Piper until Daddy gets home? And I'm like, well, I would love that, but no.
Little small just yet.
Yeah, like probably, you know, she's about to turn 9, so I would be pretty confident. Like, I have not done this before, but if she was confident with it, I would be okay with leaving her at home for 15 minutes or something, and you know, like build that up, but not with Piper, not responsible for another child.
Yeah, particularly, that's our rule too,
you know, particularly one like Piper. Yeah. You know, because not just looking after her, but they also might kill one another, which is also a concern of mine.
That's the scary thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's the thing we have. Like, if I'm ducking down to the shops for 15 minutes or half an hour, there are particular combinations of kids I'm happy to leave at home, and there are combinations that I absolutely am not if I want to come home and expect the house to still be standing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think knowing your own children's limitations and relationship, once you've got that sorted out, that's a good guideline for that stuff.
Yeah, because particularly too with, you know, the way that the house is set up, like the office is actually outside, which I love, but Piper also likes to use my computer, so she is often outside here, and the cat's an inside cat, so, you know, I think, like, out of all the things that could go wrong, probably what would go wrong is the cat would get out and then they would freak out and would attempt to, you know, like, catch the cat, and who knows where they would end up, you know. So, yeah, no, that's not happening.
Perils of parenting.
Soon. But it is, you know, it's a whole different thing as, you know, Riley's getting so much older and she's so much more capable of doing stuff for herself and, you know, and talking. So she was telling me what she was saying. She was in the shower and she was drawing some pictures. She said, sometimes I, you know, write myself things in the shower. And I was like, what would you write? And she was a bit cagey about telling me. She said, sometimes I write things that I'm good at in the shower. And I said, what did you write that you were good at in the shower? And she said that I was good at drawing pictures in the shower and emojis.
Oh.
But we weren't actually going to be talking about kids today, as per usual. You've gotten well sidetracked, which may be slightly to do with the sleep deprivation.
Yeah, but let's blame that.
I think you have got some solid years of baby brain that you can blame, and I will just, you know, ride those coattails. so we had I recently reshared one of our last podcasts that we did about nutrition and, you know, fueling for training and what we were doing. And it was one where I had experimented with not just going vegan, but also getting rid of a lot of grains and things like that. And so I occasionally still get people asking me about bulletproof coffee, which was my sort of compromise on not having milk, was use it like a long black and blend it with coconut oil and maple syrup, which is pretty good, but let's face it, it's not a latte.
Nope.
And so we thought we'd do like a little bit of an update of where we're at with nutrition and where you're at with still fueling the lives of two humans and you know, preparing food for many others.
Many, many others, yeah. So I think for me, when I was pregnant, there's the whole eat for two myth, which we all know is a myth. It doesn't require eating for two, but some of us just like to do that. And this time I didn't actually. Like, my nutrition was pretty good, I think, because I was conscious that I'm a lot older this time and that I wanted to be able to get active again fairly soon afterwards with as little hindrance as possible. So that was all fine. And then I had the baby, and now I am starving all the time because breastfeeding just takes it out of me in terms of energy, and probably most women, not just me. So I'm finding that shift really interesting, to go from, you know, pregnancy where I was, well, particularly at the end, I was barely hungry at all, which is not unusual because your stomach's so squashed up. And now, like, I go for a half hour walk and I have to take a protein bar. It's like I'm training for a marathon. But I get really dizzy and hungry, so I'm finding that a really interesting adjustment. And I'm trying to, again, be conscious of what I'm eating and trying to fuel activity, because even just living at my house is fairly active with all these kids to chase. And at the same time, I have a massive sweet tooth, which I've always had when I breastfeed. And, yeah, trying to deal with that without just eating all the biscuits all the time.
And it's so easy to do because you're spending so much time kind of like waiting around or rocking, or, you know, like it's sort of like an easy way to have sort of like something that feels like a reward or something that feels like fun, because you're kind of limited in, you know, like what you can do. I mean, I probably differed between the two. Like, Riley would spend ages breastfeeding, and so I needed to eat a huge amount of food, and I lost a huge amount of weight breastfeeding her, because she would breastfeed for, you know, easily an hour at a time. And, you know, and when I had to feed her every 3 hours, that's a huge amount of time during the day, whereas Piper would, at best, would feed for about 10 minutes. And so she was just super, super efficient, and had no, and was not a comfort feeder at all. And so,
makes a big difference.
I found I didn't really need to sort of eat more for that, because I wasn't really expending a huge amount of energy on breastfeeding her. So yeah, it did really differ between the two, that's for sure. And it's such a sort of fine balance with, you know, eating enough, and, you know, like, what's, I pretty much lived on peanut butter and toast, really. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of thought that went into that. Was just like the quickest, easiest thing that I could possibly eat. And I was probably more so with Riley, because I was a lot more time strapped with her. So, and to this day, she still enjoys peanut butter and toast.
Yeah, I think that's the tricky thing, is time for me. So when I make the kids' school lunches of an evening, I should, and sometimes do make myself something for the next day. When I don't, I know all about it. That's when I go straight to snacky stuff, because I just, I mean, I can't predict when Amelia's going to wake and want to feed. I'd like to think I can, but we're not at that stage yet. She's still too little, and she still does take a while to feed, and she's actually got a tongue tie, which means she's feeding not as efficiently as she could be. So she's getting a lot of formula milk. So she's still putting on weight. She's perfectly healthy, but she's not getting the really fatty filling hind milk. So she wants to feed more often to put that weight on. And we're having that looked at in, I think it's about a month, she'll get it snipped. But in the meantime, it means a lot of couch time and feeding her for me. And unless I am extremely prepared, it also means eating just what I can grab. Like, and I've had weeks where I'm really clever and have a lot of dried fruit around and crackers and hummus and stuff like that, which is great. And then I have weeks where I have muesli bars and things like that in the cupboard and I just go eat them.
Yeah, I mean, it just really does depend on the week. Like I guess I probably stuck mostly with my dairy-free, grain-free, sugar-free thing until about Christmas. And then I was like, oh, Christmas free-for-all. Mm-hmm. Excellent. But also I had in the back of my mind, I had concerns about how that eating was actually working for me, because I perceived myself as losing muscle tone.
Mm.
With that, and I kind of thought, you know, possibly it's the difference between, you know, like vegan protein versus animal-based protein. I wasn't really sure, but I thought I'll try reintroducing dairy and see how my body reacts to that, and I'll get a good sense of, you know, if I am continuing to kind of like make the same sort of like gains in training or not, and you know, how my body looks and all of that sort of stuff. So since then I have been back to having dairy and eggs, and I've also started working with a nutrition coach. Basically, I kind of think that I know, you know, for the most part what I'm doing and what I should be doing and where the shortfalls are, but I think that there's just so much benefit to having somebody else take the reins and say, this is what you're going to do, that sort of like external perspective, and for me to have accountability to someone and all of that kind of stuff. So I had to send her about 3 days of food journaling and, you know, like answers to a whole bunch of questions about what my training week looks like and all of that sort of stuff. And that was really useful, because I could see how much I had been really unconsciously eating, you know, and had just, because basically sort of like probably my history over the last 3 years is I will sort of lose a bit of weight and then I'll gain a bit of weight. So there's a lot of yo-yoing going on, and I just want to find a really nice equilibrium where I'm at a weight that's beneficial to my training, but also at a weight where I'm still, you know, enjoying my food, and I'm not like one of these sort of like bodybuilder types who just eat, well, you know, I wouldn't be because I don't eat chicken, but you know, just like eating vegetables,
broccoli
and protein, and that is all I eat, and you know, in huge amounts. So, and I really have felt like in sort of advancing the with running and with weights and strength and all that sort of stuff, I really feel like the body composition at this point is, you know, is what is holding me back. So, and I think that that's sort of like, in some ways that can be an uncomfortable position, because I'm kind of like, I don't want people to feel like to do this, you have to lose weight, or you have to, you know, you have to do a certain thing. And I don't want to kind of advocate that people should be, you know, an optimal weight or a certain weight, or because that's not my thing at all. So in some ways I can feel a little bit uncomfortable talking about it, because I don't want people to think that I'm making a whole lot of decisions that are about aesthetics. So, yep. But, you know, it is also, I think it's a common, really common feeling for people, you know, who invest a lot of time in their running or their training, whatever they like to do, and they kind of like, you know what, I spend a good amount of my week, you know, like training my body, and I want my body to look like it on that. You know, so I think that they're like, it's not about aesthetics, but I think that the aesthetics does sort of play into that. And I think for me, it has been a learning curve about how, you know, the training aspect in terms of body composition and all that sort of stuff is a really minute part of, you know, body composition. So if my goal at when she asked me for my goal, I was sort of like, well, I don't really have a weight goal because I'm not really married to a certain weight. I think my body's changed a lot since I've had kids, so I don't even really have a good sense about what a healthy goal is. But I know that from body scans that I've done, that my body fat is too high. It's probably like in between 28 to 30%. So I'd like to start with moving that down to a healthier fat percentage of about 25% and then see how I feel there and if I want to sort of then like go closer to 20 or if I'm happy there. So that was sort of where I set the goals. But I think as someone who has been and is such a big advocate of body positivity, going into a sort of a nutrition approach for body composition is a kind of awkward space to occupy.
It's a tricky thing, isn't it? Because there's validity in, you know, choosing nutritional ways of going because of how you want to look. There are many, many people who do that, and I feel like there's a difference in doing that as part of a lifestyle that includes a lot of activity, and it's a different thing again when it's entirely about losing weight, a la, you know, the diet industry's rubbish that they feed you. And it is such a slippery slope because, I mean, I'm the same. I've had a baby, you know, not that long ago, less than 2 months ago. I'm about, I don't know, 5 to 6 kilos heavier than I was when I got pregnant, which, you know, whatever. I only know that because I had to weigh myself to weigh the baby
And you
the
also
other
sort of ended up having to put on a little bit weight to get
to get
pregnant,
pregnant. Yeah, so I'm
yeah.
probably about 8 kilos heavier than where I like to be in terms of what suits me for training. But then it's not like I'm going to be running a marathon in 6 months, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas we've got, I think so much of it's about the sense of deprivation as well. So I'm not depriving myself of anything at the moment. Except sleep, apparently. But, you know, in terms of everything else, I'm doing what I feel like my body needs and what I want. Whereas we've got a friend who's a bodybuilder, and he has been living that lifestyle for probably 20 years. So he'd be our age, about 40. And he eats so much. He eats a lot of protein, he eats a lot of vegetables. He does not eat for taste pretty much ever, which is, and to me, I would feel massively deprived to be living that lifestyle. For him, though, it's worth it because it's what he wants for his body. He likes the way he looks, he likes the way he feels, he's very strong. You know, I guess he doesn't have that same sense of deprivation, whereas he might have if he couldn't go to the gym, he'd have that sense of deprivation.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast, which I forget which one I was listening to, sorry. but it was sort of talking about how it's really easy to make the mistake that people who are at the peak of their sport are healthy when they're not, they're fit. You know,
Big difference.
and you can kind of see that if you look at sort of like top level runners, like you look at them and you think that person does not look healthy. And really, like for example, women who are, you know, like pushing sort of like 12% body fat or whatever it is, it's, you know, even empirically, it's not healthy. But, you know, that is what is required to be at the pinnacle of their sport, and it's obviously worth it to them to be there, and they won't be there forever, you know, like it's not, you know, this thing, it's not, their career is for a finite period of time. And so I think it's sort of also working about, you know, like what is actually healthy and what's sort of maintainable and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But it's probably one thing, like I would like to sort of get back to you know, like finding a bit more of my speed in my running, and I would like to do some really quite basic body weight things, like being able to do, you know, like a full push up and be able to do a pull up. And I don't see that happening carrying 30% body fat. You know, it's just one of those things that is a reality, and you know, you're kind of you're, and probably also because I'm hypermobile, I don't gain strength or put on muscle that easily because I lack stability in, you know, in some of my joints. So, and you know, like that is slowly, like I'm getting a lot better with the with stability stuff, and you know, working on it. But it's just a fact of life that some people in my position could probably just do a whole heap of strength training, put on a whole heap of muscle, and then they're going to be, you know, their body's going to be burning a whole heap more because they've got more muscle. But it's just something that I am not going to be able to sort of like do by just focusing on the training aspect. So as part of that, I've gone back to getting sort of protein and other things from dairy. One of the first things that the coach asked me to moderate was anything soy related, because it increases your estrogen, which is not ideal for sort of body composition or muscle gain. And that's sort of, so probably the challenge for me at the moment is like, where is the protein coming from? And the answer is that I have a lot of egg whites and a lot of cottage cheese. And you know, there are certainly plenty of times now where I'm not, you know, necessarily eating for taste all the time, but by the same token, like I don't feel hungry and I don't feel deprived. And probably the biggest thing is like, once I have all of my macros sort of laid out, there's not really any room for alcohol. And you know, and that doesn't, it's one of those things where I enjoy it when I am drinking, but I don't miss it when I'm not, you know. So it's, I think it's all about, you know, like if it's sort of, and it's not like I'm not at all, but it's more like I would have one glass of wine, you know, on, you know, a Saturday night rather than having two or three, you know. So it's sort of more along those lines. And I think as long as it's kind of like my mum was asking me, she said, "Do you think it's sustainable?" And I said, "Well, it is if I'm focusing on this is what it's going to do, like I'm going to feel more energy during the day. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to feel bloated. My body's going to feel better. I'm going to feel more awake when I get up. Things are going to start to gel a lot more in training sessions." Like if I just thought about stuff that I wasn't eating, then it probably would feel like I was missing out on something. But I don't really have a massive sweet tooth. Like I'm not a huge, like unless I'm super stressed out, I'm not a big, you know, sort of chocolate eater. I do enjoy a good meringue with some berries and cream. But I also think it's the kind of thing that, you know, having like a system where you're kind of like, this is my goal, and if I have an off day, it's not a big deal, you know.
Yeah, I think having kind of concrete physical goals, not in terms of how you look, but in terms of what you want to achieve, makes sticking to nutrition plans that may not be the easiest to start with a lot easier as well. Because if you've got a concrete goal, like I'm going to do a pull-up rather than I'm going to lose this amount of kilos, if you lose that amount of kilos and maybe not look like you thought you would, or you might think it's not enough or it might be too much, it's not a great kind of guide to go by. Whereas if you're saying, "I want to do a pull-up, I want to do a push-up, I want to deadlift 30 kilos, 50 kilos, 100 kilos," you have a target that you can achieve. And if you know that you're eating to support that specific target, you know you can get there, and it's going to give you exactly what you want when you reach it.
Yeah, I mean, even today, like we had a bit of kipping practice, which is way more technical than it looks. Like you see people doing that, it just looks like they're swinging on a bar. Like it doesn't look like it's that it takes any kind of core control, but it turns out it actually does. So and I've always sort of like struggled with the control aspect of it, you know, like going from the hollow position to the arched position. And today I was swinging back and forth. I'm like, oh, it's finally coming together. And I think a big part of that is it is easier for me to control when I am having to support just less weight on the bar. You know, like there's no, but I think also the great thing about having a coach is they're someone who's focused on not on me losing weight, but she's focused on me losing fat. You know, so she's only, you know, so she's careful about, you know, that I'm getting enough food that is going to support my training and is going to support my existing muscle mass, and that I'm not going to be losing weight from my muscles, and that I've got a plan for what I'm supposed to be having before a workout and after a workout. I find it quite, like, I've been using an app to track everything, and it's quite good because I'll get to sort of the end of the day and I'll go, okay, I am needing, you know, like 20 grams of protein and about, you know, say 50 grams of carbs or whatever it is. What can I make that is going to sort of like, that's going to bring that together? And then it kind of like cuts down on, you know, just sort of fine tunes what I could eat. So, you know, I think it's been quite good so far, but I do think it is worthwhile sort of, you know, like trying those things on, you know, like for someone else going vegan and plant powered for running or strength training may be fantastic, and for others it might not. I think that you do need to try it for a decent amount of time. Like I think trying something for a week isn't really going to show you anything, but if you give something, you know, sort of like 8 to 12 weeks, and then you look at it and you can kind of see, you know, have you improved in the areas that you thought you would, and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, and just sort of start on, you know, like probably I've had a whole heap of stuff to do this week, and probably the one thing that I haven't done as well as I could have is that, like, is water. So that's something that I'll focus on next week. But, you know, that's, I guess, the good thing about journaling is you can kind of see, you know, where you're doing well and where you're falling down.
I think, like all things, you know, following particular nutrition plans for a period of time or whatever, you know, if you give it the time to kind of settle in, you can then take the things that have worked for you and continue with them in your life. You can discard the things that haven't worked and try something else. Like, there's no specific end date for any of this stuff. It's all just tweaks for life, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's like I'm also in the good position now that because I've been running and everything else for as long as I have, that's something that I don't even have to think about that. Like I don't spend any of my time working on that as a habit. It's just so ingrained, like I just get up and I go, and so it kind of then opens up that space for me to go, well, here's an area that I'd really like to work on, because I know that my diet is not great. I know I should be eating more vegetables, but without some kind of like focus and some planning, it's just not going to happen. I'm just going to keep eating toasties, which I still have toasties, but, you know, I also have a lot more veggies. I hear a certain gorgeous little customer.
Yes, my friend is awake. She's awake and saying, good morning, I'm hungry, I want food too.
Her nutritional plan is a lot easier.
Yes, for her, not so much for me.
No,
some days.
Not for you, but for her.
Yeah. Oh, she's a cute little thing. If only it was always that easy, hey, just to know you're getting exactly the right nutrients in exactly the right format and growing the way you're meant to, and people cheering you on when you put on weight and all that good stuff that happens when you're a baby.
Yeah, I know. It certainly gets a lot more complicated. Like last night I made the kids their favourite, which is pizza. Piper has salami pizza and Riley has like a ham and pineapple pizza, and it just stayed in the oven like a teensy bit too long. And wow, giant freaking fuss pots that they are, they both – turned their nose up. But Piper eventually came round because, you know, I was about to give her pizza to Josh, and she's like, "No, I want it." But Riley was like, "No, I'm not eating that." And I'm like, "Well, off you go. You can make yourself some toast for dinner." The yep. benefit of her being eight.
Yep, absolutely. The problem with that at my house, if I said that to my eight-year-old, that would be all he ever ate.
Yeah.
I have no chance.
I mean, I think that she would be very, very happy with that scenario. She'd just have, like, toast and honey from now until the end of time.
Forever. Yeah, kids. Finally, it was that easy for all of us, really. Just eat what you like and that, you know, addresses all your needs.
Yeah.
That would be great.
So, yes, it's not always as easy as breast milk, even though breastfeeding isn't 100% always easy in the beginning, particularly with a tongue tie.
Yeah, that's not my favourite. At least it's not a severe one, so we're pretty lucky there, but it's definitely made things interesting, and it's not something I've experienced before, so... Yeah, it just goes to show you could have heaps of kids and you'll never know everything, that's for sure. They'll always throw something new at you.
Is she doing okay after? She had her shots yesterday, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She's doing all right. She was pretty grumpy about it for a while, which is fair enough. When someone stabs you in the leg with a needle, I think you're entitled to be a bit pissed off, actually. But, yeah, no, she's been pretty great. She's a crazy little girl. She has to be their house. The only problem we have, really, is that during the day when it's just her and me, I think she gets a bit bored and annoyed. She's like, "Where are all my friends gone?" And so she needs constant entertainment because she's used to all these people passing around and fighting over who gets a go of her.
Yeah, well, she'll be enjoying school holidays then, which is like, I keep thinking it's coming up way sooner than I would like. Like, every week ticks by and I'm like, I'm losing all of my productivity time.
Mm.
I can't believe it's March already.
Yes, I've given up on productivity time. I had these grand plans of, you know, by the time she was 6 weeks old, I'd be doing this much work, and I'd like to rewrite Mind Fit, and I'd still intend to do that, but it won't be in the time frame I originally thought, that's for sure. I've forgotten babies keep you busy.
They do. They certainly have a way. Oh.
Oh, that's a bit tough little girl. Even the coughs are cute. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, even it's funny, like, even with Piper in our bed, like, I go in there and she's snoring away and it's cute as. But if Josh ever snores, I'd be like,
that's
nudging
not cute.
Him. It's not cute. Nudging him until he doesn't snore anymore or rolling him over or whatever. Just different rules applies to little ones and babies for sure.
Absolutely.
So,
okay, well, I should probably go and finish filling her up and get her changed and ready for the day.
Definitely. And we will catch you next week. And we will, by then, the podcast that we recorded last week will have gone live, and we'll hopefully have a few topics from the community about what they'd like to hear us talk about.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then.
Talk to you then. Bye.